Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Michael Kaufman. And Dr. Kaufman has been working in the environmental movement for many years, but trying to educate people about the truth about what's happening as far as our environment. And this evening we're going to be talking about the so-called global warming threat, the threat certainly to the very existence of modern-day civilization, the threat that is going to cause the polar bears to become extinct, the Arctic ice caps to melt the snows of Kilimanjaro to waste away, the glaciers to disappear, the oceans to rise, and, well, at least that's what they want you to believe. But I think if you watch Dr. Kaufman's DVDs, and we do carry several of the DVDs he's actually made on global warming, you'll find out that most of what you're told by the media is just not true. And so that is the background, Dr. Kaufman. Thanks so very much for being with us again tonight.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
So why don't you just really do pick up on the issue, because, of course, there's tremendous hysteria out here. Everything's being done to facilitate the restriction of use of carbon fuels and carbon, we're told that carbon dioxide, this terrible pollutant, is going to destroy everything, and they're even going so far as to try to limit the amount of methane that's put out by pigs and by farmers. They're spending countless millions of dollars, see, to how they can cut back on flatulence because of the greenhouse effect of the methane that comes from the intestines of domestic animals and, of course, of commercial animals. But what is the real truth about the threat of global warming? Is this really a threat, or is this simply an example of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think?
Well, many of you may have seen on the evening news where the Obama administration released a major report showing how devastating global warming is going to be if we don't stop it yesterday. They go into a number of different things that the planet is going to suffer from and so forth. We can talk about those later. But the key that I really want to leave you with, I have a PhD in ecosystems analysis and had led a multi-million dollar research effort in acid rain and global climate change back in the 1990s when I realized that the whole thing was a sham. There just wasn't any science to back it up. Actually, there was more science then than there is now. When you really come down to the raw empirical science, there is absolutely zero science to back up the man-caused global warming, and yet you heard on the evening news how devastating it's going to be, and it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's happening, and all scientists agree, and so forth. That is malarkey, pure and simple. In fact, there has been a major, major shift in scientific thinking over the last 3 years, in which most of the scientists that used to believe that man was causing it no longer do. Why? Because the science over the last 3 years is overwhelmingly showing that it's a natural part of a natural cycle, not man-caused. And what you're seeing today is the extension of an agenda that's been going on for dozens of years, if not over a century, to create a world government. In order to do that, they need to control the U.S. economy. And to do that, if you can control carbon dioxide emissions, you control the economy, period. There is a one-to-one relationship. And if you have the ability to put your pencil down on a piece of paper and say that the emission levels of this company or this type of manufacturing is only so much...
Hold that thought. Hold that, Michael. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, I guess it's Dr. Michael Kaufman, and we're talking about the attack on the industrial potential and manufacturing potential here in the United States, really upon the standard of living of the American people. And most people don't understand there really are people who hate the United States. And certainly they're epitomized by the current administration, where, of course, President Obama sat for 20 years in the congregation of Reverend Wright's church there in Chicago, where Reverend Wright every Sunday would get up and rail against America and how terrible we were. And not that all of his criticism was unjustified. Some of it was very well justified. But I can love America and criticize it. Reverend Wright hates America, and certainly for 20 years, President Obama, certainly supported that. He disavowed Reverend Wright during the campaign, but really, President Obama is doing everything he can to destroy this nation, and certainly this whole scam of global warming is a scam that is designed. It's really an attack on the infrastructure of our nation, on the manufacturing potential of our nation, and the enemy is not sitting in a cave over in Pakistan or in the Kremlin or in Beijing. The enemy is sitting in Washington, D.C., and it's far more than President Obama. He's simply a manifestation of this illness that permeates our society and controls our media. And there is no better example of the control of the American media today in the fact that you will never read in any of your newspapers that over 30,000 scientists have signed a petition saying there is no evidence that man's activity has contributed to this threat of global warming. In fact, the threat is really greatly over-exaggerated, and we're not all going to be drowned by the rising sea levels, but you pick up the story there, please.
Well, you know, not only are we not going to be drowned by the rising sea levels, but over the last couple of years, as the Earth has cooled, not warmed, the sea levels have declined. So we're actually seeing a phenomenon that just does not coincide with the man-caused global warming theory at all. Because even the United Nations admits that the Earth has been cooling at least since 2001, if not 1998. In fact, it's actually cooled substantially in 2007. It warmed a little bit in 2008. It's now cooling again, and it's likely to continue to cool for the next 25 or 30 years in a what we call a cooling cycle. In fact, it is so amazing that the solar cycle number 24, we have 11-year solar cycles, and they've been numbered ever since Galileo discovered them back in 1700. And 24, supposed to be
a year,
it's turned out to be zero. We're now into the third year in which solar cycle number 24 should have occurred, and there still is no solar activity whatsoever, just a minor blip once in a while. And we should be seeing dozens of sunspots and solar activity and so forth by this time, and it's just not happening. The last time that happened is when we had the little ice age in the 1700s, 1800s. And we had temperatures 2 to 3 degrees cooler than it is right now. Massive famines, starvation, pestilence, and everything that goes along with it. And there have been a couple of news articles, especially in the London Times and in London, England, where they're showing that we are facing major food shortages that's coming up right now because of crop failures, freezing of major freezes during the summer that they haven't seen in decades. All kinds of things that interfere with food production. That's the same thing that happened back in the Little Ice Age when it was so devastating. We had so much starvation and so forth because of crop failures. I hope that we do not see that again, but we could use a lot of warming right now. Every time we've had warming much warmer than it is right now. In fact, we've had temperatures as much as 6 to 7 degrees Celsius above where we are right now over the last 10,000 years, and in 1200 A.D., it was 3 degrees warmer than it is right now. So it's been much warmer than it is right now. The polar bears have done just fine, and civilization prospers and thrives when it's much warmer, not when it's cooler.
And I think it's so important to know that the population of polar bears is increasing, and there is no reason to put them on the endangered list. This was a political decision that was made to try to verify in the minds of the American people that the polar bears are all going to drown. They're going to fall off that melting iceberg and simply fall into the water. They can swim 90 miles, you know, in search of seals. But you're not going to tell the American people that. Actually, the number of polar bears has at least doubled in recent years, yes. And not one person in 1,000 America knows that. Go right ahead.
There's no question about that, that the whole polar bear issue is nothing but a surrogate issue to frighten the American public into going along with the new cap-and-trade legislation right now that's pending in the House of Representatives. And it's scheduled at this particular point to be passed next week. It was just came out today that Pelosi wants to put it on the calendar to pass it next Friday. You know, if you have never written your congressman before, this is the time to do it. I can't overemphasize this enough. It's the most devastating piece of legislation Congress has ever considered in this 260-year period. It is unbelievable. It is at least four times a bigger tax increase than it has ever been passed before. It dwarfs TARP. It dwarfs the stimulus package. It dwarfs the Obama, all these things put together. It dwarfs them. It just is so horrible. We're looking at $6.5 trillion to $10 trillion over the next 10 years with this bill.
Well, now, but wait a minute. Where is the money going to come from? What is cap and trade going to involve?
Well, you know, it's a very interesting thing. You know, we have to ask the question, where's the money coming from this new health plan? We're up to at least $1 trillion now, and if the real cost was known, some of the analysts were talking about it tonight, it's probably closer to $2 to $3 trillion. Where is this money coming from? He's pulling it out of the hat. And let me tell you, folks, we're buying our own debt at this point. China won't buy our debt. Nobody will buy our debt. And as a consequence, we're buying it. And whenever you monetize your debt, your country is going to go broke. There has been no country that has ever tried it in the past that has survived monetarily. None. And we're going to go into a period of hyperinflation. I expect by this fall, others tell me it might be a year before it happens, but it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Why Obama thinks he can do this and get away with it, I have no idea. It is just unbelievable what he is doing. It's like he is, as you said before, he is deliberately trying to destroy this country. That's the only answer that you can arrive at when you analyze what this administration is currently doing or what the Congress is currently doing. It's like they have a death wish.
Well, now, tell us what cap and trade is. What is it? How is this going to work?
Cap and trade is a very simple idea, very complex in its application. But it's basically the United States puts a cap on how much emissions is it going to emit in any one given year. By the year 2012, we have to reduce our emissions by 3% below 2005 levels. So that's about 5% in total from where we are right now. In 2020, we have to reduce it by 15%. By 2030, it has to be reduced by 50%. And by 2050, it has to be reduced by 83%.
But China isn't going to reduce their emissions. Uh-huh. India is not going to reduce their emissions.
Nope.
The third world countries, and these are the biggest polluters in the world, are not going to reduce their emissions. So this is really an attack specifically to destroy the industrial infrastructure of our nation. Why doesn't anybody ever tell that to the American people?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, the Bible says that we're going to be in a great delusion at the end times. If we're getting close to the end times, I think we're starting to see delusion take root. It's not the great delusion, but it is a form of delusion that just is, it defies any explanation that I can imagine. Because it is so obvious that it's wrong that you would think the simplest person out there could basically understand how devastating these actions are. And how we cannot survive as a nation if they continue to do what they're doing without some sort of putting the brakes on and going back and retrenching. Because it is unbelievable. When this bill is passed, within 5 years, it's going to cost every single American family $3,100. Some of them say $4,100. Some of them say $2,000. I'll stick with the $3,100. $3,100 per family is going to go right off the top of your take-home pay. bam, just like that.
Now, is this going to involve so-called green energy, wind power and solar power? Is that where the expense is going to come in?
Well, that's part of it. What they're counting on, obviously, they want to keep at least the industrial base going and so forth in this country. But if you start reducing the amount of fossil fuel emissions by, say, 20%, you've got to make that up somewhere. And so Obama has set a 15% replacement with wind power and solar power by the year 2015.
But that'll be terribly, that is so expensive. For every job you create with that, you lose two jobs. I mean, it's what they found in Spain when they tried this whole idea. So what we're going to do is put an awful lot of people out of work.
Spain now has an 18% unemployment rate specifically because they went to wind and solar power starting about 10 years ago. And they created a whole pile of jobs, but as you said, they lost two jobs for every job that they created. It's extremely expensive. Basically, they found that $700,000 to $800,000 per job that was created, and of course, they lose one in the process. So, or lose two of them in the process, I should say. So it is so counterproductive, you can't even imagine it. And let me tell you, Obama knows this because he's always using Spain as the shining example of a nation. Look at what they have done. It's phenomenal. And then he found out they're about bankrupt because of it, and so he doesn't mention them anymore. So he knows those statistics.
No, of course he does. But he's a disciple of Reverend Wright, who hates America, and there's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy an industrial base. Now, of course, the obvious solution, if you really believe that there was this problem, which there's not, but the obvious solution would be nuclear power. But they blocked every attempt to find a place to store the spent fuel rods. The problem is you don't need to store the spent fuel rods.
No.
What you do is recycle them, but they've effectively blocked that legally in America. Every other country that has nuclear power recycles their fuel rods. They will not allow that to be done in America. And there's not one person in 1,000 in America who realizes that that's the solution to the problem. It is never mentioned by the controlled media. Isn't that amazing?
It is, and even the Republican Party has made that a very strong plank, and what they would like to do is to build 100 nuclear facilities over the next 20 years. I don't think it's possible, but nonetheless, it would certainly be far better than building thousands of these windmills and solar panels. The problem goes very deep in this, because you say, well, wind is cheap. Well, wind isn't cheap when you have to consider the cost of building all this stuff. It's very expensive, especially its carbon footprint. When you have to do the concrete and the huge, huge towers, metal towers. These towers are 12 feet wide, and they have to be built strong. And then you have the propellers and so forth. It has a huge carbon footprint to start with. And they're extremely expensive to build, and then they're expensive to maintain, so are solar panels. And at the same time, the wind only blows about 25% on the average. I mean, there are places in this country where wind power makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying we shouldn't have it at all. But to have more than 2 or 3% of our energy in the form of wind power, anything more than that is economic suicide. There is just no way you can justify that with current state technology. Because when wind's not blowing, you still have to have the backup power from coal, from natural gas, from any of these other sources, hydro, it doesn't matter. You still have to have that in operation, ready to kick in immediately, because if all of a sudden the wind dies down from, say, 25 miles an hour to 5 miles an hour, you have to make up that difference within seconds. You can't sit there and wait for 2 hours for a power plant to gear up and so forth. And so you have to have all of this going on in the background, all of this expense going on in the background. And at the same time, you still have to have that, but it's more expensive now because the cost that they used to get from revenues is no longer there. It's going to the wind generation.
And, of course, people say, well, you wouldn't want a nuclear power plant in your backyard. And I'd say, sure, why not? My son served, 6 years in the Navy, and a lot of it was on the aircraft carrier over a nuclear reactor right there. Same thing with the nuclear submarines. They're incredibly safe, but, of course, they're never going to tell the American people that. They're always going to associate the nuclear reactor with a mushroom cloud. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, that's one of the things that I think we need to get out to the American people, that renewable energy is not an option. It just literally is not, except for nuclear.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
America. What was this legislation you were mentioning, Michael?
It was the Omnibus Public Lands Management Act of 2009. It was the combination of 162 different separate bills that they put all in one package. And it was pretty much voted on by both Republicans and Democrats because they had no idea what was in it. And they're all complaining about the fact that we need to become energy independent from all of the Arab states and so forth. And in the process of doing this, they just locked up the largest oil deposit and natural gas deposit in the entire world. It's a 500-year supply at current rates of use. It's just mind-blowing what this Congress is doing. I don't think we should vote for any congressman that voted for any of these bills the stimulus bill or anything else, when it comes to 2010, I think that every one of them ought to be voted out of office.
Well, because most of them don't even read the articles. In fact, I have a friend of mine, Senator Bill Richardson, here in California, and he wrote a book entitled You Don't Really Think We Read the Bills, Do You? And, of course, it was tongue-in-cheek, but that's true. Most of the legislators don't read the bills. What they ought to do is insist that no bill be more than 2 pages long and say everything that's going to be there. Because there's no way they did this, of course, with the Patriot Bill. They wouldn't even allow the people to look at it. They wouldn't even allow them to look at the stimulus bill that was passed during the Obama administration. They completed at 11 o'clock at night, and it was to be voted on it the next morning, and nobody was able to read the legislation. We have representative government, and they don't want our representatives to know what they're voting on, and that's exactly it. It's all make-believe. We do not have a representative government. We have an invisible government that uses the facade of representative government to convince the people that we have, of course, an opportunity to change the course of things. Only on rare occasion have we been able to do that. We did that certainly with the immigration bill last year. They actually did that with the TARP legislation in September of last year. But, of course, it really didn't matter. They violated all the rules. They brought it back 4 days later with $150 billion in bribes, $150 billion in bribes. They bought the votes of 55 congressmen, and they got the TARP legislation passed to give $700 billion to the major banks so that they could lend it to get the economy going. And the money was lent. It was lent in China, and in India, and in Spain, and in Dubai, but it wasn't left in the United States. And then we wonder why the economy is simply shutting down America's, because they can't borrow money. But don't you worry, the money that $700 billion was lent and tens of billions of dollars was lent in China, and India, and Spain, and Dubai. Go right ahead, Michael.
You're absolutely correct. We've talked about this before, Dr. Stan, that we knew it was going to be a bad situation when Obama was elected president, because every indication was all his cronies and everybody that helped him politically get into the position that he was in were all U.S. haters. Farrakhan, you name it, you go down right, or Reverend Wright, you go right down the list of everyone who he has associated with, and they all hate the United States. They were all involved in the 60s counterculture movement in one form or another. They basically, and they try to say that they didn't have any influence on him. Come on now. But here we are, and I never in my wildest imagination thought that we would see our country go down the tubes as fast as it's going. I just don't know how long we can survive. I don't know if we can survive until the 2010 election.
Well, our job is to do our best, Michael. We're not going to change this ourselves, but we can reach the American people, and if God wants the people to listen and understand, they will, and I'm really more encouraged than I've ever been, because things have to get bad. They have to get people out of their comfort zone. They've got to get them thinking and questioning and wondering, and I believe we're going to see more and more people asking more and more questions as the whole infrastructure of our nation begins to crumble, as they see their electric bill, and of course the electricity bills are going to go up. Obama says, oh, I'm not going to tax the people. I'm just going to tax the rich guys. Nobody's going to drive your electricity bill up dramatically. He's going to drive the price of oil up. And believe me, the price of oil is being manipulated up again by the same people that put Obama into power. It's going to go up further and further. There's going to be another plunge in the stock market, and the entire economy is going to shut down even further in the coming months. But understand, this is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. Because there really are people who hate America, who want to send our manufacturing and our jobs overseas. They want equitable distribution of wealth between nations. You can read the plan and the Earth Charter up on the Internet. We've talked about it. Have you ever gone up and pulled out a copy of the Earth Charter? If not, you can call us and we'll be glad to send you one. If you get something else from it, just ask for a copy of the Earth Charter, point 10B, equitable distribution of wealth between nations. Well, Michael, you go right ahead there.
Well, we need to be very acutely aware of what is facing us, and if Pelosi is able to get this bill out of committee on by Monday, as she hopes to do, this coming Monday, and then she's going to put it up for a vote by Friday, we need to be calling every single congressman that we can and telling them or writing them or whatever. If you've never done this before, this is the future of this country. I can't overemphasize that enough. This is the future of this country. It is time we took action. It is time that we picked up the telephone, got a little embarrassed, and called our congressman and say, don't vote for this. Now, it still would have to go through the Senate, but the fact is, if we can stop it in the House of Representatives, it's going to be postponed at least until this next fall, and we're organizing a very strong, and this is one of the reasons I think they're trying to push it through, as they know the opposition is going to be launching a major effort to kill this because it is so horrifying, it is so bad, that they've got to get it in right now if they're going to do it at all. And we're hoping to get it postponed by this coming year, or this coming fall, so that we can begin to really put some information out there as to how bad these bills really are. And they are horrible. They are really, really bad.
Well, I think what we need to do is stress that whenever you hear President Obama speaking, remember he is the disciple of Reverend Wright, who hates America, and what you're really hearing is, you're seeing Reverend Obama speak, I mean Barack Obama speaking, but he is the disciple of Reverend Wright. He sat there for 20 years under the tutelage of this man who hates America, and all of these policies are designed to destroy America, to bankrupt our nation, to actually cause America to restrict carbon output. But what about China? I mean, if this is a problem, why do we insist that China, which is the greatest polluter in the world, far more pollution their pollution. China wants America to do this. Why? Because they want to destroy our infrastructure. And Obama is working with the Chinese communists and people throughout the world who hate the United States to bring in these limitations on carbon emissions. But why isn't Obama insisting on China and India and the other countries doing it? Why, very simply, it's an attack on America. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Michael Kaufman. And Dr. Kaufman is really putting in a plea for you to get on your telephone tomorrow morning and call your congressman and call as many people in Congress as you can and urge them and email them and fax them and tell them to vote no on the carbon cap legislation because it will destroy the infrastructure of this nation. And there is an attack on America. And explain to them that this is aimed at destroying the manufacturing infrastructure of our nation. Well, right now, if you'd like to talk to Dr. Kaufman, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But this is extremely urgent. I mean, this is not something you can put off. You're going to have a chance. If they get this thing to the House, they'll probably get it through the Senate, and you can just simply plan on your electricity bill doubling or tripling. But before we go on, Michael, I want you to get your telephone number and your website out so people will know how to get your material. Now, we do carry Dr. Kaufman's excellent DVDs on global warming, and certainly one is global warming, and I think it's the New World Order, and the other is a global warming, new scientific evidence. Is that right?
Yes. Global warming, emerging science, and understanding. It's a brand new DVD. It's only been out a month, and it really is a powerful DVD. It's also structured that you can be used in a classroom to confront Al Gore's inconvenient truth, but it's great for any type of audience. It is really a very powerful DVD. I've previewed it with hundreds of students, and they've loved it. So I think it's a very effective tool to use, not only to help your neighbors understand what's going on as far as this issue is concerned, but also to give your high school teachers and middle school teachers, because many of these teachers are looking for information, but the only thing that's available right now is Al Gore's inconvenient truth. And I don't know if we've talked about it on this program, but Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth has been banned from public schools in England because it has so many errors. I mean, it's just chock full of errors, but there are 9 critical errors that the High Court of England has basically said it cannot be used in our public schools because it's not a documentary, it's a piece of propaganda.
And it sure is, and they're being shown in schools all across America and in theaters across America. And, of course, it's all a lie, but then what would you expect from Al Gore, who talks against, oh, my goodness, all these people using all the contaminating the atmosphere, you know, and they're using the electricity and, you know, big cars, and yet he has an SUV, and he has a house that uses about 10 times as much electricity as the average home does. But it is the elitist attitude. Of course, what's right for us is not necessarily right for you, and, of course, Al Gore is going to make a great deal of money off of selling carbon credits. He has the potential to make billions of dollars selling carbon credits as part of this scam, and he knows it's not true. He just hopes you're not smart enough because he's going to be a billionaire. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Michael, I want you to get your website out and your telephone number.
Okay. Our telephone number is the toll-free number, 877-271-7639. That's 877-271-7639. I have several websites, but you can get to them all by going to discerningtoday.org. Discerningtoday.org. It's a and you'll find the 2 DVDs that we've been talking about featured there, and if you click on those, it'll take you to the respective websites. And the Emerging Science website is just chock full of pertinent facts and information for anyone who is interested in really understanding what's going on with this, as well as what's in the DVD.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, we've got Bruce calling us from Spokane, Washington. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bruce, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I can tell the urgency of his voice on this. There just seems to be such a proliferance of legislation and acts right now that are just devastating to us. And he considers this very high on the list. Now, you know, I do too, but it seems to be that we've been intentionally dismantling our industrial base for over, you know, several decades.
Right.
And they said that we're supposed to be a service economy and an information economy. And, you know, when you're serving hamburgers and just giving information on how to flip a hamburger, I don't think that's a good economic base for people that that historically have had a standard of living unequal to anything else in the world.
But, Bruce, did you ever stop to think that maybe they want to lower our standard of living?
Well, I know that.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
The thing is that we are constantly fighting against, you know, this elitist attitude. And we're, you know, some people are just getting worn down. I mean, I spend countless hours on having initiatives signed. We're doing the E-Verify initiative that, you know, to find out if, you know, the people that are applying for social services or jobs are legally allowed to be in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, property tax lowering. And there's a handful of us that are spending a lot of time, and we're getting less and less help from the people that say they're concerned. And yet there's always another emergency on the horizon. And we're just getting worn down. I'd just like to say, you know, I'd like to say that what hope is there if people are not active?
Well, Bruce, I think the first thing is we need to get off of the defensive. I mean, I believe that Michael is true.
Yeah.
Well, we need to go on the offensive, and they cannot really allow exposure. This is why our talk on the financial Armageddon is so vitally important, because we're pointing out that there's a little organization with 87 people in it, 87 Americans who controls the American government. That's the Trilateral Commission. They cannot let that information out. They cannot let out the fact that they are the people who put Barack Obama in power. They cannot let people understand that there's a powerful spiritual force behind Barack Obama and behind the Trilateral Commission, and that David Rockefeller and Sidney, who organized the Trilateral Commission, hates America, wants to destroy it. His nephew, a man named Stephen Rockefeller, wrote the Earth Charter. charter I was just talking about that talks about the equitable distribution of wealth between nations, now not his wealth, not the Rockefeller Committee wealth, but the wealth of the American people. We need to go on the offensive rather than stay on the defensive. Michael, how would you answer Bruce and his concern? We're getting tired.
Yeah, I understand, because I've been involved in this for 20 years now, and it is getting very tiring, especially now that it's just coming at us by the dump truck loads.
Exactly.
But the thing is, if we let our guard down right now with all these bills, if we don't fight the hate crimes bill that's going to be coming out.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, if we don't fight the global warming bill, if we don't fight, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to be in the health care bill yet, but I do know what's going to be happening in these others. And they have to be stopped. They just literally have to be stopped, or everything that we've done over the last 20 years to try to slow things down will be for naught. And I want to give you a bit of encouragement here. I can't give you a succinct answer, because what this has to be is basically from the bottom up, or from the ground up, a groundswell of opposition. If all of a sudden they started getting millions of phone calls to the House of Representatives saying they don't want this cap and trade bill, that's going to send a very strong signal. I don't know if you knew this, but the European Union just had a series of elections last week in which those people that had passed and were promoting all of this cap and trade garbage were voted out.
We don't have a voting or election system that we can actually trust, and most Americans don't trust the system.
But I want to give you, let me give you a word of encouragement. When back in 1990s, I was involved in trying to expose the Biodiversity Treaty for what it was. It wanted to lock up one half of the United States in the wilderness areas. Myself and three other guys, I drew a map that shows what this was, what looked like. We took it down to the U.S. Senate before the ratification was to occur. They couldn't find anything in the actual treaty that would say that it was going to be using the Wildlands Project, because that's the Wildlands Project was its basis. And so we had to go kind of home, but then we finally got out of, this is God. It can be only one thing. It's only God. He put us on to someone in New York who knew somebody in London, who knew somebody in Germany, who knew somebody in the headquarters of the IUCN in Switzerland, which is one of the authors of this bill, this treaty. And by that time, the IUCN had no idea who we were. They FedExed a copy of this report to us that basically said that it was the basis of the whole treaty was the Wildlands Project. We sent it down with a map to the U.S. Senate the day before it was scheduled for ratification. They blew the map up in the 4x8-foot section, and it was stopped an hour before the treaty was to be ratified. Or we would have had huge areas of this country already. It put it back into wilderness, and people kicked off.
And of course,
that had gone through.
And of course, in 2002, Dr. Kaufman was in South Africa and helped block the acceptance of the Earth Charter, which was become the official document of the United Nations. Bruce, God does intervene in the affairs of men. You have to believe that.
I do. It
is a spiritual battle. But I will tell you right now, more. I've been at this for 47 years. And I'm more optimistic now than I've ever been before, because I think people are beginning to listen. And we're building a listening audience across America and pointing people, you know, towards the real solution, which is a personal relationship with God, and then getting involved and trying to bring others to realization. We're involved in a spiritual battle, and there's organized evil out there. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. Don't get discouraged.
I've seen organized evil. A friend of mine said, hey, let it happen, and then finally people will wake up. He was talking about the hate crimes bill. He said, well, let the preachers be silenced at the pulpit and then see what they happen. And he says, and finally, they'll see that their apathy and inactivity have brought themselves to this point.
Well, I think, Bruce, things are going to have to get a lot worse before they ever start to get better.
Well, even Obama said that.
I know, but of course he wants it to get a lot worse, because he hates America, and Reverend Wright hates America. But just hang in there, and please encourage people to listen. Don't get discouraged. We've only got a short period of time before we know whether we're going to be able to save this country or not. We are called to do our best. We're not called to win.
Right.
We're called to do our best. Anyway,
that's a very good point. And I would encourage you to stay with us, E-Verify. Because not everybody can be doing everything. You've got to focus on a single issue and then stick with it. All these issues are important, and when the call comes to call your senators or your congressmen and something on E-Verify or the global warming or whatever the case might be, then break away from what you're doing, make that phone call or
email
or letter or whatever, and then get back
to
what
you're
trying to do.
Put out the Capitol switchboard hotline number, 1202-something.
I have one number. It's 202-225-3121, but I'm not sure if that's just for the Senate.
Well,
you have to go ask the Congress first. Well, nonetheless, it'll get you to Capitol switchboard, and we can start flooding them.
God bless. Thanks very much, Bruce.
Right,
and put the word out up there in Spokane. Let's go to Rick calling us from Texas. Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. Since everything's getting more and more out in the open and people are seeing that they've got a choice between being taken care of by people that really don't care for them or keeping their freedom, I mean, when I say people, I'm saying, you know, maybe 5 or 10%. There's still 80 or 90% that are just in the clouds. But as this gets closer and closer to the finish line, don't you think that it's going to come down to people just saying no, just saying, you know, we're not going to do that, and then their closest elected officials will have to listen to them?
I think you may very well be right. If enough people said no, as they did with the ID bill, you know, they wanted to shove the ID bill down every state, and a lot of the states said, we're not going to go with it, and they backed down in Washington, D.C., because there are not very many of them. They're terribly frightened of the American people saying, we're not going to go along with your program to destroy America. So don't get discouraged, Rick. We just keep doing what we're doing and trying to wake people up. And I believe people are waking up all across America today.
When I got started in this, Dr. Stan, in the early 1990s, late 1980s, you could count the number of people that were knowledgeable of these kinds of things in the tens of thousands, maybe the hundreds of thousands, but more likely the tens of thousands across this. Now there are millions of Americans that are beginning to see this. And when you start to see that kind of groundswell, when you start to see them reacting as they are to some of these pieces of legislation, then I think you're going to see a major effect on Congress. And if we in the 2010 could put out the siren song of kicking out of office everyone who voted for the stimulus pass, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat, anyone who voted for that, not because the stimulus package may have been good. I don't think it was good, but the fact that they had no chance to even read it is a disqualifier, as far as I'm concerned, for a public office.
Amen to that. Anything else you'd like to say, Rick, before we let you go? You got a full board.
Well, I just think that it's we're coming to a time when this will all come down and it'll, you know, turn like a chemistry reaction. It'll turn, you know, one way or the other.
You're absolutely right, and let's hope it turns our way. But remember, it's a spiritual battle, and we're going to have to look to God for our guidance and for our strength. God bless. Thanks very much, Rick. And let's go to Lorna, who's calling us from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And, of course, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Lorna. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very fine, thank you. And how are you, Dr.
Doing just fine, thanks. You have a question for our guest, Dr. Michael Kaufman.
Yes. I was just curious how much this global, this tax, or this carbon tax has to do with, like, the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change and the global warming and all that, the agenda for sustainable development and everything.
It's part of the Agenda for Sustainable Development, Agenda 21. The Framework Convention on Climate Change was the first effort that came out of the 1992 Earth Summit. It had no legal teeth to it, so they put into effect the Kyoto Protocol in 1997 that did have teeth to it. It's been waffling around. Kyoto is dead. They are now looking at the Copenhagen Protocol that's going to be coming out, hopefully, they think. I hope it's stopped. It looks like it's going to be stopped in December of this year to replace it. That would include the third world nations and so forth. We haven't even gotten into that discussion, Dr. Stan. I mean, this is going to have our law here will have devastating effects throughout the third world nations of the whole world. We haven't even talked about that, but that's another one of these consequences that is going to happen if this bill is passed. And it is very much linked. It's a progression from beginning to end, and here we are with this cap and trade here in the United States.
And then it'll be just another extension of this whole Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. Anything else, Lorna?
So this is probably was also brought up to some of the Americas, which I'm actually looking at, and it's all within...
It's all part of the attack on America. It's part of the effort to impoverish our people. It's part of the effort to bring about a one-world government, a one-world economic system, a one-world currency, and to destroy Christianity, because that's really the common denominator. They hate the Lord of the Bible. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Lorna, anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
No, I just wish that more people would have said it against the Summit of the Americas, and it had such little downplay, and when Obama went...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
That's Arthur Robinson. He's saying that there is no evidence that man's activity has led to global warming. It's all a fraud. And then, of course, we do have a wonderful book. It's called The Politically Incorrect View of Global Warming, another one called Climate Change, All Agora. Those are two books we carry. We have a four-tape set on global warming, and we have an excellent two excellent DVDs put out by Dr. Michael Kaufman, and that would be the global warming and the new world order, and of course the new scientists, not new science or evolving science, I believe it is something of the sort, and the global warming, evolving science and global warming, and all the science. In fact, we're actually entering a period of global cooling But they can't let the American people know it's all a lie. Because if it's all a lie, that means that everything you read in the newspaper is a lie. Because all of the newspapers and all of the television and almost all of the radio, except for programs such as ours, are going to tell you that global warming is a reality. And there has been global warming up until the last 3 or 4 years, and not since then there's been global cooling, but the global warming is part of the normal cycle. And all you need to do to convince yourself of that is ask, why do they call Greenland Greenland? And they call Greenland Greenland because 1,000 years ago it was green and there were grapes growing there. And then we went into a period of global cooling, and now we're in a period of very slight global warming, and the temperature's gone up 1 degree, and the sea levels are not going to rise and cover up the Empire State Building, as they would have us believe. But it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, most people will believe. Well, to really understand what's going on, you need my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course you can get the DVD of that talk. You need my talk on the forbidden secret, and the syllabus goes with that, which will give you the spiritual background of what's going on, and now our new talk on the financial Armageddon, and the syllabus goes with that. Well, there's so much information available on our website at radioliberty.com. We hope you'll want to get our new DVDs on vaccine and Brain Development by Dr. Blaylock. You hope we'll want to get a new DVD on the Trilateral Commission by Pat Wood. It's excellent, the talk he gave here at our conference. It was last October. And remember, we're putting on a new conference on October 25th of this year, and hope you'll start making your plans and make your arrangements accordingly. But we have Pat Wood's talk available either on CD, or we have all of the talks on CD, but we have his talk available on DVD. It is an excellent teaching program. And then, of course, we have other material that we put together that dealing with so much of what's going on today. Go to our website, our new 4-CD set on deadly assassins. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they do kill people here in the United States. I've had a number of the people I've interviewed who've died under very mysterious circumstances, including Gary Webb, who shot himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. If you haven't yet gotten your long-term food storage supplies in, we'd be glad to send you a catalog. If you need to get yourself a Berkey water filter, and you really should have one on hand for emergency purposes, and, of course, if you want a good tasting water, why, of course, it's good to use regularly. We use ours regularly. And then, of course, if you'd like to lay in a supply of the health products, you need to keep your immune system up, or the Miracle 2 products. We have so many things, but it is all used to finance this so we can maintain our network of some 60 stations or outlets where some of our programming is heard every single week. People are hearing the truth on Radio Liberty and certainly on the programs by our friends, and we're reaching people, and more people are learning. So we ask you, of course, to remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, I'm hoping that they're going to be the views of Dr. Otis L. Graham, who's written a fascinating book on immigration reform. And first, the book is entitled Immigration Reform and America's Unchosen Future, and I think it's a very, very important book. Dr. Graham was a professor of history, and certainly he's written extensively about the immigration problem. He's certainly was actually on President Jimmy Carter's staff there, or at least worked for Jimmy Carter, and he certainly was there at the center, at the place there in Santa Barbara, which was run by the Ford Foundation and Robert Hutchings. He's been on the front lines of the immigration battle and trying to really stop illegal immigration to the United States, because he feels, and I certainly agree with him, that illegal immigration or certainly unrestricted immigration is going to destroy the future of our nation. And, of course, he dates this starting really back in 1965 when the politicians lied to the American people about changing the immigration laws. It was the 1965 immigration law that laid the tone for everything that's happened since then. And then, of course, the influx of illegal immigration that the administration, successive administrations, has refused to restrict, and brings us to the point where we are today, but even more frightening. Dr. Graham looks into the future and tells us where we're going to be. Dr. Graham, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm pleased to be with you.
Are you retired now?
I am retired.
All right, fine.
Well, I'm retired from teaching. I still work pretty hard.
All right, fine. Well, I do the same thing. I'm retired orthopedic surgeon, but I still work about 12 hours a day, and because I think that ideas are certainly the very substance of what's going on in the world today, and we're involved in the battle of ideas, and we're approaching the immigration reform issue perhaps from slightly different points of view, but I agree with you just about everything that you've said about the danger of immigration. So why don't you pick up the story, because you can tell it far better than I can.
I'm the author recently of a book called Immigration Reform in America's Unchanging Future. I think you mentioned it. And in that book, I try to tell the story of, it's a memoir more than it is a history, of the discovery by myself and a group of friends and eventually the American public at large, in the 1970s, that mass immigration had returned to the United States after 30 or 40 years of small-scale immigration the 1965 Act gave us without really asking the American people if they agreed, an era of mass immigration which continues to this day. That's over three decades of mass immigration. It changes everything. And when I discovered this as an individual, I was also pleased to discover in the 70s that a number of Americans were well ahead of me in understanding that the costs of runaway immigration, illegal as well as legal, were very high in a lot of areas, and that they started to organize a social movement to try to bring it under control. That social movement is still underway. The battle is still underway, and this is a book about that struggle. It starts in the 70s, and it's not over.
No, in fact, the battle will continue until something is done. And, of course, people have to understand that what we need, if we're going to be a nation, you have to have a unified culture, you have to have a unified language, you have to have people who look at the world through the same eyes, you know. But, of course, everything seems to be moving us towards a multicultural, multilingual nation with increasing tempo of violence. And we see this here in the central coast of California where I live. I would never have thought that we would be seeing literally murders and drive-by shootings becoming commonplace just a few miles from where I live.
You put that very well, and you live, of course, in the middle of California. There's no state that embodies any more in California, the massive immigration and the transformation, social transformation that it is driving. I'm not pessimistic, nor am I optimistic. I think the battle over whether we can get this under control is one of the great struggles and great causes of contemporary life. I've been involved in it as a volunteer for a long time. It's interesting to live in interesting times, but there's an awful lot at stake, and we could continue to make some serious mistakes and not bring this under control unless we get an awakened public. A lot of the public is awake, but there is a lot more to be done.
Well, I think you really start your story with certainly the Immigration Act of 1965. Would you like to pick that up? And then the Rockefeller Report, you know, which came out in the 70s and said, you know, that we were really going to stabilize our population. You know, certainly the reproduction rate had fallen dramatically to 2.1 children per family. Well, why don't you take us to the immigration legislation in 1965? Because that was all a lie. They knew it was a lie when they passed it, and yet, of course, it was designed to transform America. So why was the immigration legislation of 1965 different than the previous immigration laws, and how did that impact on our nation?
That's an important and a well-put question. And if anything that I say leaves anything to be desired in terms of answering the question, please suggest to your readers and your listeners that I've got two books on the subject. But to try to respond to your question, in the 60s there was an awful lot going on. I remember being a young person in their late 20s in the 60s, and there was an awful lot to keep track of, and I didn't pay much attention, and I don't think many Americans did, to something that the Johnson administration, building on the Kennedy administration, did in 1965, and that was to take the system of immigration controls that we had built in America in the 1920s and modified a little bit in the 50s, a 30-year period of a pretty strictly limited immigration with no sizable illegal immigration. It was not even a concept. That era of 30 years from the 20s through the 30s and 40s and 50s was dramatically changed in 1965 by the Immigration Reform Act of 65 that quadrupled the numbers of legal immigration and fed into an era of also very, very large and expanding illegal immigration. At the time,
hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Graham is talking about the immigration legislation of 1965, and you have to remember these dates. 1965 is important, and then, of course, the legislation of 1986, 1996, and 2006, those years of major immigration reform, but 1965 was really a seminal change because it changed the demographics of our society. And, of course, I remember what was going on then. We were involved in the Vietnam War, and our attention was focused on the Vietnam War. And we were arguing back and forth, you know, was the war right? Should we fight the war? Should we be fighting communism to keep communists from taking San Francisco down the line? And anti-war movement. I wasn't very smart to begin with. I was on the wrong side for a long time until I finally began to realize we weren't trying to win the war, and we were simply fighting a no-win war. But it was a great distraction. So neither Dr. Graham nor myself recognized what was happening with the 1965 Immigration Act. So you pick up the story there, because this is one of the seminal events in this whole tragic story.
You're right about the importance of that. At the time, I was a strong environmentalist, and I still am. And as an environmentalist, I believed, as I think many, if not most, environmentalists believed, that the American population, we would do a much better job and have an easier time of preserving the American ecosystem and the American environment if the American population were to stabilize. And every evidence was that the American population would stabilize by the voluntary decision of Americans as to how large families to have. The Rockefeller Commission in 1972, commissioned by President Richard Nixon, reported that the American population was headed towards stabilization. It would be very desirable to stabilize. It would help us to solve many urban problems, environmental problems, resource problems. And at the end of that report, I remember being shocked by their discovery that immigration expansion, the 65 Act, something I had let slip past my attention, I'd paid not enough attention to it, the 65 Act launched the United States on a fateful and historic and mistaken and undiscussed with the American people, pathway of population growth. When I figured this out, I realized that immigration is a complicated thing. It brings both goods and bads, not in necessarily 50-50 measure, but that immigration was transforming the demography of the United States and adding to a lot of problems and wasn't being discussed. I started getting interested in the subject. I met other people who were, and by the 1970s, a social movement, which is still going strong, was in place to try to convince the American people, and they didn't take much convincing, but to mobilize the American opinion that unlimited, massive immigration was harmful to the national interest, made all of our goals harder to achieve, and that's been the struggle that I wrote the book about.
And, of course, I think it's important to understand that certainly by 1972, the fertility of the average American family was about 2.1 children per family, and that was going to lead to a stable society. In other words, we would increase for a short period of time, but eventually we would stabilize with about the number of people we had at that time, what was about 250 million, something like that. And, of course, things would stabilize, but then, of course, there was this issue of immigration, and suddenly, all of the people were coming in, and, of course, the increase in the growth of our population was not the indigenous people here. It was the immigrants coming in, and they're having their large families, and many of them, of course, wanted much larger families, and it was not only the legal immigrants. It was the illegal immigrants who were coming in here and having large families, and the government was really not doing anything about it. In fact, what I think most people have missed is the fact there really were people who wanted this sort of thing because they wanted to change the demographics of our society. Nothing infuriates me more than when I call AT&T to talk to them, and the first thing they say is, do you want your message in English or in Spanish? And then I get this 10-minute dissertation in Spanish before I can ever get to a real-life human being. In fact, they usually won't let me get to a real-life human being when you call AT&T. If you want a lesson in frustration, call AT&T or your local telephone company and try to talk to a live human being, at least here in California. But you pick up the story there, Dr. Graham, because I think this is so important. Suddenly it becomes apparent we're having a real problem not only with legal immigration, but with illegal immigration as well.
You're right. And at the time of the 65 Act, which, as I said, greatly expanded the numbers coming in illegally and which was a byproduct, and legally, at the time, the government officials who testified and promised to anyone who would listen that the 65 Act wasn't intended to raise the numbers or change the demographic composition of the American people. The American people would not have tolerated it if that had been the idea. And all promises were made by those who testified in 65 for the Kennedy and Johnson administration. Well, if you pay attention, whether they intended it or whether they didn't, and we'll quarrel about that, the demographic implications in terms of not just numbers, and the numbers are really important, went way up and surged up, and they've surged for four decades, an unprecedented surge of immigration. And that should have been expected, and there was some testimony. Are we opening the doors of American immigration at a time when the world is itself engaged in a population explosion, poverty, populations, disrupted societies? Are we opening the doors at the wrong time? Those questions were dismissed. No, we're not opening the doors very much, and certainly there won't be massive immigration. It's not going to make much difference. It did make and is continuing to make a huge difference. Now, we can differ as Americans about whether all of this is a good thing or a bad thing or somewhere in between. But the conversation about it has been stifled. Those who are critical and concerned and upset by the numbers and the flow of numbers over the years, by the social and economic transformations that this implies, these people have been stigmatized and stifled to some extent, but part of the story is a story I try to tell. You can't stifle all the American people, and there's a strong, organized social movement to try to get these questions discussed as they were not discussed in the 60s, and to try to revise and reform American immigration policy, as well as close off illegal immigration. That's one of the great discussions that is going on in America. I know there are a lot of important discussions, medical care. We've got two wars going on. One of the most fundamental discussions we have to have and resolve in the right way is to end the mass immigration and mass illegal immigration era and to bring us back to an historic period of low immigration, which we can absorb and which is more in line with the American historic pattern.
And of course, the thing is that today there's a shortage of jobs. The latest unemployment figures are 9.4% unemployment, and yet in other countries it's even worse, and people want to come to America, and I don't blame them for wanting to come to America. I don't blame the Mexican peasant who, of course, was a farmer, and of course he was forced off of his farm by a massive influx of cheap subsidized corn from the United States. It couldn't compete. We were subsidizing our corn. We were shipping it there, driving the people off their farms and facing a famine, why, of course, they came to America and said they wanted a better life. I understand that, but the trouble is that they came here illegally. Of course, trying to get in legally is a real problem, but the difficulty is this is creating all sorts of problems for the United States. You point out in your book, though, that a lot of the people coming in from Mexico will do a lot of the hard work that a lot of our young people don't want to do. They don't want to have to do field work. They don't want to have to do heavy physical work. And so basically there's been sort of an unspoken rule that would allow the people come in here illegally and work here in California in the agricultural fields.
Well, you're putting your finger on probably the central point of controversy. Will Americans do the hard work that a society requires? Or will they not do it anymore? Will our children not do it anymore, even if we did and our grandparents did? And that's a question which is at the center of things.
Boy, I can remember working in the onion fields when I was about 12 or 13 years old and out picking pieces. I'll tell you why I like picking fruit a lot more than I like working in the onion and the celery fields, though.
The truth is that Americans will do everything that needs to be done if the wages and the working conditions are American wages and working conditions. If you undercut the American laborer with cheap third world labor, and you can do this endlessly, there is no end to cheap third world labor. If you do that, Americans will not step forward and third world labor will come in. If third world labor is limited, as it should and must be limited, the wages would rise upward to the point where it makes sense for people. Employers would improve working conditions. They would mechanize so that so that the work could be done more quickly and more efficiently. But we'll never get to that if we have unlimited third world labor flowing in across our borders.
And I really was very interested in the comments you had in your book about the Cesar Chavez. And Cesar Chavez, of course, very liberal individual, certainly a Marxist in many respects, you know, organizing the farm workers. But he said something that was very true. He said, look, the greatest threat to the Mexican people and the workers here in the United States is the illegal immigration coming in. It's taking away their jobs. And he was absolutely right. I think one of the problems we have today is sometimes we don't listen to what people have to say. We characterize them, you know, Martin Luther King, bad man. I think Martin Luther King really was a very courageous man. He paid for it with his life. But it's so easy to just accept what people say without ever stopping to think what many of these people say. And Cesar Chavez was absolutely right. He was trying to get better wages for the farm workers, and he didn't want illegal immigration. To me, that was quite a revelation. And I want you to know, that, Dr. Graham, I really enjoyed reading your book here. We'll be back in just a moment. And the book is, of course, entitled American Reform and an Unchosen Future. We go right ahead.
Okay.
We'll go right ahead here. Dr. Graham?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Close our borders to protect the demographics and integrity of our society, and he comes under tremendous attack. I mean, he's accused of being a racist and all of these things, and this must have been really sort of, must have really been very, very difficult for you.
It was. I don't want to make myself into a courageous hero, but one did find professional difficulties. There were hints that there were professional advantages that would be declined. There were people who would at any forum or a conversation in which other you were having an exchange of ideas, if they started to lose on the other side, they start to call you a racist. It works for a while, but if you've been called a racist about three times a week for about a year, after a while you realize that it's a kind of a compliment. You're winning the argument with the facts and with the rationale, and they're losing the argument, and they fall back on the cheapest, most inflammatory thing that they can find to call you some sort of names. I've got used to it, although I didn't find it easy to get used to. I don't think anybody does.
Well, I certainly admire you for taking a stand for saying what needed to be said within the halls of academia and certainly within the liberal establishment, because there are a lot of good people there who know what's going on, but a lot of them are frankly afraid to speak out because they don't want to be attacked. And certainly when you're in academia, why, of course, they talk about freedom of speech and freedom of ideas and academic freedom, but they're great theories. The reality is they're very, very stereotype, and you better not cross them.
There's a thing called left-wing McCarthyism, and that's in part what you're talking about. From the left, not always only from the left, I'm not trying to make this simple, there is a kind of a McCarthyite stifling and suffocation of discussion, which is very reminiscent of the McCarthyite days of the 50s, which I lived through, which I did not like at all. I'm a sworn enemy of McCarthyism, and now you get it from a different angle, but it's the same kind of stifling. They don't want to deal with the facts. They want to call you names and try to silence you by intimidation.
Well, I've been dealing with this for a long period of time, but you develop a thick skin, and one thing I learned a long time ago was to figure some means of putting the other side on the defensive, and rather than simply accepting being called names, simply to twist the whole subject around and put them on the defensive, and then they usually run for cover, because, of course, you're absolutely right. If you care about America, why, we have to limit the unbridled immigration, both legal and illegal. So what's the solution?
Well, we're having a great debate in Washington, and there's been a little bit of a lull, but in 2005 and 6 and 7, the Bush administration, with the backing of the Mexican government, the Mexican elites pushed very hard to try to open American borders permanently, and that was fought off, and now we're in a kind of a lull while the Obama administration is trying to decide whether they're going to reopen the question of opening the borders and what they call immigration reform. When I started getting interested in this subject, I was for immigration reform. By reform, I meant an end to illegal immigration. There's no justification for that at all. And to bring real legal immigration into the sorts of numbers and the sorts of selection process that made sense for America, for the American national interest, that was a long time ago. Now, the Bush administration decided to use the language of immigration reform, and they say, well, we're for immigration reform, but what they mean by immigration reform, now we have two versions of immigration reform. One is the kind I've been fighting for 30 years. The other is the kind that George Bush and the President of Mexico and an awful lot of American elites in the corporate world, in the university world, in the churches, there's an elite consensus that immigration reform really means America ought not to stop anybody from coming here. We ought not to have immigration laws that filter and select in the interest of the nation.
And if
that's called immigration reform, I'm against it, and the public may be justifiably confused, because when they hear about immigration reform, they think, well, aren't there two versions out there, and they're confused about it. So we are in an educational battle, in a learning battle. We got a new president. We got a new Democratic Party majorities. I don't know where we're going to go. I think the country is in very great danger. I thought the degree that the border was wide open and undefended for the last 30 years, I thought that was bad. It may get worse. There is a coalition of open border people who really don't believe in enforcing the border at all. They talk otherwise.
Hold that thought, please. We'll be back in just a moment.
Come on.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is Dr. Otis Graham, his book Immigration Reform and America's Unchosen Future, and that's really what it's all about, is this unchosen future. The American people haven't been consulted, but there are a group of people who have a different worldview, and they certainly want America to become a multicultural, multilingual society. This is the reason they have fought at every turn to block efforts to have the English language to be considered the official language of our country. And they've done everything they could to block effectively control of the border for preventing illegal immigration or revision of the immigration laws and curtailing legal immigration until we could stabilize our population. So you pick up the story from there, please.
I was thinking as you talked of a conversation I had with a like-minded person, a friend of mine in this movement, and they are great patriotic people. By the way, there's an effort by the other side, the open border people, to stigmatize immigration reformers of the sort that I represent. I've written in my book my 35 or 40 year experience. These are patriots. These are I encountered people on the immigration restriction side, the most admirable people I've ever known. I never encountered anyone who hated immigrants, disliked immigrants. That was not the point. They generally had an immigrant background, but that was the second point I wanted to make. The first was that the I've lost the first. I made the second one, and you have to remind me what the road I was going down.
Well, you were basically talking about the people that you'd met in the movement, and many of them were very patriotic, and of course they really wanted to preserve our society. They wanted to do what was necessary to curb both legal and illegal immigration.
I remember my stream of thought. One of the great patriots and one of the great Americans that I encountered in this movement was Barbara Jordan, who headed a commission in the 1990s and recommended a cut in overall immigration numbers and a serious effort to control legal immigration. And Barbara Jordan was an African American. They couldn't call her the sort of names they can call me as a white male.
Hold that thought right there.
No one ever tried, but. She understood that the open border people were trying to stifle discussion by calling names, and she said, the position that America is like any country, sovereign nation, has the right and the obligation to limit immigration in its own national interest should never be attacked, and that's the first principle. I just applauded, and one of the great tragedies that happened along the wrong road we've been on is Barbara Jordan died of cancer in the 1990s. She was a wonderful American, and if you are seriously interested in the best thinking about how to return to a immigration path that's good for the country, turn to the Barbara Jordan report. And I guess I have to push my book here. If you don't know how to find it, take a look at my book. I give her as much attention as she widely deserves.
All right, fine. First of all, I'd like you to get out your website and tell people how they can get copies of your book.
You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Author House, the publisher, Author House. And you can get it at Amazon. And you can go to my website, Otis Graham, that's one word, .com, www.otisgraham.com, where maybe you'll find out who this guy is, but the book itself is you can get it in 3 days off Amazon or Author House. Author House, AUTHORHOUSE, one word.
All right, fine. It's an excellent book. It's very well written, and certainly it's just sort of your biography as you got into this struggle. You really didn't understand it to begin with, and it takes a long time really to sort of figure out what's going on, who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, and then, of course, so much of what goes on just doesn't make sense. I mean, why would anybody oppose, you know, having English as the official language of our country? Why would anybody want to oppose this devastating inflow of immigrants that will eventually destroy the infrastructure of our society? Now, certainly, I'll put out our telephone number if anybody would like to call in. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But I'd like you to certainly sum up where we're headed, you know, where we're going to be in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years if we don't do something to curb this massive immigration into our country.
I added my final chapter is a discussion of just exactly that. Where are these currents carrying us? These demographic, this invasion of human beings whom you quite right earlier said one has to have some sympathy for people who want to come to America. That's not the point. But where is it taking us? And I tried to look ahead at the answer. Population growth is just the first place that I start. We've got a global warming problem and resource problems and crowding problems and a lot of problems for which a sustained massive population growth in the U.S. driven by immigration is the last possible thing we should have. There are labor problems of competition with American labor. The fiscal costs of immigration, illegal and to some degree legal, are very considerable. This is all coming to the surface. It's information that's available the most. In 9/11, we found that a porous immigration border has another cost, and that is the country is vulnerable to terrorism. And living with 20 million, maybe 15 million at least, illegal immigrants and trying to and listening to people who say that they should have the full rights of Americans is a fundamental challenge to the rule of law. So in my last chapter, I try to pull together some things. I felt badly about writing it because it made me it's not pleasant reading about where this might carry us. I'd like to finish on a more positive note.
Well, I think it's important.
It's a social movement of Americans who want to bring this under control. That's the good news, and I don't know who's going to win, but I know which side I'm going to be on.
And, of course, you talk about the fair. You were really one of the formers of this Federation of American Immigration Reform, that's known as FAIR, and then the Center for Immigration Studies, the CIS, serves on the board.
I'd like to mention also for Californians, CAPS, Californians for Immigration Stabilization. That's just three organizations that I happen to be involved with. If you mess around on the web a little bit, you'll find there are 30 to 50 organizations in the state of California, and I don't know how many around the country. We actually have an aroused American citizenry about this question. And whether they can prevail or not, I don't know, but I feel privileged to have been a part of it.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Well, I think we saw last year or the year after, when they tried to get the immigration amnesty passed, when George Bush wanted amnesty for the illegal immigrants, and there was just such an overwhelming response from the American people. They shut down the switchboards. They shut down Congress to the point where the congressmen were afraid to vote for it. A lot of them wanted to vote for it. The Bush administration was twisting arms and threatening to break arms and destroy congressmen if they didn't go along with it. And the aroused American people stopped the amnesty for the people who were here illegally. Remembering, of course, that during the Reagan administration, they said there were only a million illegal immigrants and we would never have another amnesty. We'd just have this one amnesty. It would solve the problem. And they lied and they lied and they lied. And they promised, of course, to take action against the employers, and they refused to. And they promised to enforce the border control, and they refused to. And then, of course, suddenly we're facing a 10 million or 15 million. We don't know how many million illegal immigrants there are in the United States today. And they wanted to give them amnesty again, and the American people said, you know, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, we're not going to put up with it. So I was really encouraged by that, weren't you?
I found it just almost thrilling. I hadn't expected it. I knew we were going to fight. I knew we were going to put up a good fight. I knew we were organized. I knew we were right. But I thought the other side just had an overwhelming set of advantages. And darn if we didn't do, as you said, we, the American people, just from everywhere, just spoke out and were heard. I don't know whether we can do it again. We're going to be required to do it again. We'd better be ready to do it again. In this long story, we got a lot of defeats in this story. My book is a... there are too many defeats in the book. It's not my fault. I have to report what happened. But there are some tremendous positive things in coming together. So I hope I was upbeat at the end, not just because I want to be upbeat, but because there's some evidence that the American people will not be... they will not put up with this much longer. And at some point, some politician is going to realize that the American way to go is to bring immigration down back into historic channels that fit the needs of the American people. If we can get that done, what an achievement.
It will be. And, of course, we can't let them try to divide us right, left, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. We're all in this together. We've all got to work together to try to preserve America. America is being invaded, and there are going to be disastrous results. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Peter, who's calling us from Salinas, California. You're looking like the murder capital of the world, Peter.
Boy, it's 1 a month here, Dr. Stan.
1 a month? But I watch the evening window. Well, there's a shooting almost every couple of days over there. Maybe they only murder them once a month, but they are sure wounding an awful lot of people.
Well, we just had a housewife, Dr. Stan, with two children in the car that merely looked at a young Hispanic man the wrong way in a crosswalk, and as she drove by, he fired a shot into the back of her car. Two children in the car.
I know. Well, but the difficulty is, you know, it is not Hispanic. It's just we have this sense of lawlessness. But do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Thank you for all the work both Mr. Graham and you, Dr. Stan, are doing. Mr. Graham, how much is my issue is the balkanization of the American society? That is, these immigrant groups are not so much trying to, again, melt into the pot themselves as to establish their own little communities. As an example, Los Angeles. It's literally becoming an enclave, a second little Mexico City. And my question to you, Mr. Graham, is how much of that is a concern to you that not only do we have illegal immigration, we have communities that are insulating themselves against, again, it was Theodore Roosevelt that said, there can be no division of allegiance here. Someone who says they're an American but isn't an American at all. We have only room for one flag, the American flag, one language, the English language, and room for one soil, soul, loyalty, the loyalty to the American public.
All right, let's get to Dr. Graham's response to that.
Well,
how would you respond to him?
I think your caller should write a book. He sounds like he's got his head straight on. 100 years ago, when we worried about massive immigration because we had it and it had not been under control, a lot of people raised questions about assimilation. Well, can we assimilate numbers and numbers and numbers continuing every year? And Theodore Roosevelt was one of them. We shut it down to a considerable degree in the 1920s, to a reasonable degree. There was immigration, of course, and we needed some and we had some, but not out of control. And we had a lull of 40 to 50 years of little immigration. We're in a very different situation. When people say we've absorbed millions before, we can always absorb unlimited millions, they forget that when the millions came 100 years ago, and they seemed to be too many, when we curbed that back to a reasonable number of 250,000, 300,000 a year, and even less sometimes, that allowed the assimilative process to take place and to work. And we did assimilate. We are a unified nation and have been for some time. And we survived that. Now, we've got a very different situation, a situation in which the sort of numbers that we absorbed before probably can't be absorbed again. A lot of signs of that. We've never had one nation on a 2,000-mile border to the south of Mexico with other nations below it from the with the Spanish culture. So close, so physically close, radio stations, the cultural influences coming across. So the concern that other people have written about better than I have of the Latinization of the Southwest, Reconquista is the Spanish word for an aspiration, which some, I don't think most, but I think some Mexican officials, Mexican governmental officials express that in one form or another we're going to lose a piece of the U.S. in its traditional relationship. I think these are serious questions. I don't think that they need to become hysteric, but the assimilative powers, against the numbers that are coming in from a close social and cultural entity in a nation, a fast-growing nation below our border. These things are brand new. Our grandparents never had to deal with this. This is new. We have to think anew about this.
Well, we certainly do, and certainly many of the Mexicans that come in here want to become Americans, and they learn the language, and they want to become part of our society. And they're good, productive people. They're God-fearing people, and they love their families, and they hold the same values that we do. It is simply the lawless element that seems to be coming in, the gangs that are coming in from Central America that are really creating so many of the very real problems that we're facing. And recently I was down in Los Angeles, staying a hotel there, turned on television, and I couldn't find a station in English. I mean, they had stations in Vietnamese and in Chinese and in Arabic and in Spanish, lots of Spanish stations. I finally did find one in English, but it was hardly worthwhile listening to. America is being transformed. People here where we live, of course, are really relatively unaware of this, but this is happening in areas close to the southern border and certainly many areas of our country where there are large contingents of people who speak a different language and have no desire to assimilate into our nation. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. I just wonder if you're out there in the listening audience, if you're concerned about immigration reform, as our guest is, and of course, Dr. Graham has been working with the Federation for American Immigration Reform, with the Center for Immigration Studies, and, of course, on the service of the border, of the Californians for Population Stabilization, an organization known as CAPS. There's an awful lot of money coming from the Ford Foundation and organizations on the other side that seem to have a globalist agenda, really don't seem to be interested in preserving the integrity of our society, what merges into this global system. And until we understand that things are happening and not happening by accident, until we can have free discussions without name-calling, we're never going to be able to really, of course, stabilize our society, stabilize immigration, and stabilize our population. We cannot become a nation of 500 million people. And, of course, this is the way we're really headed, isn't it?
You know, you put things so well sometimes. I wish you'd write a book.
Well, I have written a book, but not on this subject.
However, the themes that you just mentioned are covered, though maybe not as well as you put them, but I tried to cover them in the book. Which of us is proud to hand to his great-grandchildren a nation of 500 million and still growing? We'll reach a billion if projections are not changed. That's not the world I want to hand on to my grandchildren. I want them, when I meet them in heaven, which I know they will get there and I'm not sure about me, I want them to say, Granddad, we've looked into the record and you did the best you could. We're all really on the line about this. I suppose, what is the Chinese saying? You should live in interesting times. We live in very interesting times in which an awful lot is at stake, and the solution is courageous speaking about the facts, facing the facts, not being intimidated, and doing something which is not really anything other than good government. We should change one of the most powerful forces now running amok and running in the wrong directions for the most part. Immigration policy is a discretionary policy. Countries do have immigration policies, or they have open borders, and it changes them profoundly depending on how they face that. So that this discussion, I urge your readers and listeners to jump into this, inform yourself, get on the web. You will find like-minded groups. You will find information. Get involved in this question. There are a lot of important questions going on in America and a lot of important issues. This one is very close to the top for me.
I'm sure it is, and certainly we can only look and see what's happening in Great Britain, as they're having increasing problem with their Muslim immigration there, and certainly they're even talking about establishing, of course, for Sharia law in Great Britain, so that people can live under Sharia law with their four wives and beat their wives and do all the things you do under Sharia law. What madness is that? I mean, here's Great Britain, from whence, you know, our society evolved. We were based upon initially on British law and British customs, and they're becoming increasingly a Muslim nation. People don't understand what's really going on in the world. We have to, of course, try to preserve our culture, because without a culture, why, a nation cannot survive. Well, certainly our guest this evening has been Dr. Otis Graham, and he writes with great passion. He writes very well, of course. He's a historian. He's written a number of books, but I have a feeling that this book, really, of course, he poured his heart out, and it's the story of his quest for, you know, an understanding of what was going on, trying to take a stand. He, of course, it reminds me, of course, when he was dealing with Dr. Robert Hudson Singh there at the center in Santa Barbara, and he took a stand against some of the things that what was going on, and said this needs to be done, and he was allowed to.
It's been a pleasure to be with you, and it's been a pleasure to.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
By our leaders whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to a globalist dream. Well, certainly, we do have, certainly, four-tape set on immigration. We have a couple of DVDs on immigration, put out by Glenn Spencer, and they go into the background of the Ford Foundation, which has always been intent upon changing America, going back, of course, to Henry Ford. What most people don't understand is that Henry Ford was deeply involved in the occult and theosophy, and, of course, one of his closest friends was Thomas Edison, who was also deeply involved in the occult. And so much of what we have today in the way of electronic technology came from Thomas Edison, and of course he got this from tapping into the dark side. There is a spiritual battle going on behind everything that is going on politically, culturally, ideologically. And as you've heard me say so many times, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And we do hope that you'll get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. If you want to read my book on the AIDS epidemic, we still have copies. Although when I wrote the book, I did not understand that AIDS was a part of a population control agenda. And, of course, a brutal and vicious agenda to kill off large segments of the world population. In many parts of Africa today, 40% of the adult population is infected, and they're all going to die. And they're lying to the American people about that. Of course, the reason they've recently outlawed DDT after finding how effective it was this last several years. Is going to be stop all production in the world because, of course, it was saving too many lives from malaria. You need to get my material on the plan population reduction. There's a DVD, Plan Population Reduction. One on population control. One entitled None Dare Call It Genocide. You need to get a monograph on the Population Control Agenda Monograph. They're all available through Radio Liberty. If you'd like to get into sustainable development, why we have a syllabus, talk, DVD on that, and we recommend this material to you. We want you to have it. We want you to go over it. We want you to help other people understand the true nature of the battle we're involved in. If you'd like to understand what's happening financially, you need to hear our talk on the Financial Armageddon. And get the syllabus that goes with that so you can read Andrew Jackson's farewell address in March of 1837. Because what he talked about in that address is going on today. You need to get Congressman Lewis McFadden's speech in 1932 to Congress. Congress McFadden, of course, had two unsuccessful attempts on his life, and he died in 1936, and everybody at the time believed he was killed, and I believe he was killed as well. We have the speech by Wright Patman in 1964. They went out, of course, to get Wright Patman by indicting him for income tax evasion, and totally unjustified, but no one can tell the American people the truth. There were two unsuccessful attempts, or at least one unsuccessful attempt, on Andrew Jackson's life. The assassin had two pistols, and both of them misfired. I like to think that perhaps God intervened. But, of course, the assassin got off claiming he was crazy. He actually told others that he was employed by very powerful people in Europe, because, of course, Andrew Jackson had taken a stand against the Second Bank of the United States, which was partly owned by powerful forces in Great Britain, tied into the world cult. Banking institutions, until you understand that there are powerful cult forces working within the banking establishment. Nothing really goes on, makes sense, but you can trace this from the time of the Templars, who were the first international bankers. They were, and then, of course, the central banks beginning in the early 1600s, because the bank in Venice in the 1300s, bank in Florence in the 1600s, and of course, they all failed, just as ours is failing today. But, of course, this is all designed to bring down and establish a one-world government.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.